Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the earnings call on the third quarter of 2022 of Rede D'Or São Luiz. We have here with us today Mr. Paulo Moll, the President, Otávio Lazcano, VP of Finance and Investor Relations, Maurício Lopes, VP, Executive VP, actually, Rodrigo Gavina, Vice President of Operations, and Leandro Reis, Medical VP. We inform that this event is being recorded and will be available at the RI Investor Relations website of the company. After the presentation, we're gonna have the Q&A session. Before we continue, we would like to say that anything that is said during the teleconference regarding the business perspectives of Rede D'Or São Luiz, operational goals, financial goals, are based on beliefs and premises informed to the board of directors based on information available. These future considerations are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks and uncertainties and might involve things and circumstances that might or might not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, might lead to a performance that is different from what we expect. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Paulo Moll. He will start with the teleconference. Please, the floor is yours.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your presence in our earnings call of the third quarter of 2022. Let's start with the operational highlights. Third quarter of 2022, we had a volume of 701,000 patients day. That is a growth of 12.2% between the third quarter of 2021. In comparison, our occupation is 79.5%, and this is 1 point above our records for the third quarters. We had surgeries 25% above 21, and a growth of 12% in regards to the second quarter of 2022. EBITDA, we delivered 20% above the third quarter of 2021, accounting EBITDA and the EBITDA margin 24.9%. In comparison to the third quarter of 2021, there was a growth. In oncology, there is treatments that we grew 9.7% in regards to the third quarter of 2021. Revenue grew 32.2% in regards to the same period, and we had an increase of growth of 6.9% in regards to the second quarter of 2022. Our average ticket in regards to the readjustments that we just mentioned for July and August, we have a few contracts. We had a growth of 5.3% in regards to the second quarter of 2022. Now, let's talk about the efficiency, operational efficiency that we've highlighted over the last meetings. We can see a continuous evolution. I would like to talk about materials and medication. This has been a concern since it was 22% of our gross revenue in 2021, and now we have an improvement. The first quarter, it dropped to 21%, the second quarter, 20.4%, and now the third, we go to 20.1%. But we're still pursuing, and we think that we can go back to the standards of 2019, when we had 18.7% after a series of initiatives that we have great expectation for the next months. The SG&A is under control. We had 4% in 2021 in regards to the gross revenue, and now we have the average that is withstanding. We are improving our margins through the integration of our acquired hospitals. We still have opportunities of evolution in those that we recently acquired, as well as an improvement in the hospitals that are more mature. I would like to highlight that besides the operational goals and the operational indicators, we have a follow-up, daily follow-up of our technical quality, perceived quality, and we perceive it through the NPS. This is an effort that we started in 2017. The first numbers that we got from the network is NPS of 44 points. We got a great evolution since then, even with a great deal, a great number of M&As, which is a great challenge to keep an excellence in NPS. Still, we got a the total number of Rededor, the NPS, is above 60. This is a great challenge because of the number of emergency, and we have a high NPS in emergency. In the Star brand, we're still with an NPS that is close to 90. In the last quarter, we did 87 points of NPS, and it's really spectacular. Talking about quality, technical quality, we have accreditation in all the hospitals of Rede D'Or. Still, the uncredited hospitals are the ones that we recently acquired. They've just been launched. This is the accreditation process, which takes about 2 years to bring this this hospital that was acquired to our excellence standard. There are 24 indicators, amongst them technical outcomes, safety. If we measure it in all hospitals, and we use the benchmark of the benchmark hospitals that we already have at STAR, they are a reference, and now we can have an average of indicators at Rede D'Or that is systematically with the best performance than with the best performance possible. And the communication over the last 2 days with Sul America, the operation, we had the approval of CADE, the overall superintendents, without restriction, and we're still waiting for some pending approvals. But we're very excited with the possibility of concluding this transaction briefly. I'm going to give the floor to Otavio Lascano. He is the CFO, and he can continue with the presentation, and I will be available should you have any questions. Otavio. Once again, thank you very much. Thank you, Paulo. I am on page 5, the operational indicators and the COVID-19 evolution. As Paulo has commented, third quarter of this year, we have an occupancy rate of 79.5%, 1 percentage points above the average rate for the third quarter of 21, 4 points above the occupancy rate that was reported for the third quarter of 20. The company reported also 701,000 patient days, aligned with the previous quarter, still a growth of 12.2% year on year, or 22.3% when we exclude the COVID patients. Now, on your right, you should see the evolution of the patient days. COVID patient day, the evolution of the Rede D'Or units. Page 6, the surgeries evolution. Now, we always start with the graph on the left. The third quarter, we have the evolution of the total number of surgeries, 126 per day, a growth of 6.4% in regards to the previous quarter, a growth of 20.1% in comparison to the third quarter of 2021. We have to highlight that the indicators, some of these complexity indicators are very stable. In regards to the previously mentioned quarter, we have the big surgeries. We have a growth of 7.2% in surgeries. And in the same day, the ICU patients, 42% as well, aligned with the previous period. And the number of patients that are intubated or also ventilated is on the same threshold. On the right, we have the evolution of the number of surgeries with the same base assets, 92,000 surgeries, same base assets, a growth of 5.5% in comparison to the previous quarter, a growth of 13.2% in comparison to the third quarter 2021. Now I'm going to skip to page 7. Evolution of hospital beds, graph on the left, once again. We're reporting a total number of operational beds, 9,613, a growth of 174 beds in comparison to the previous quarter. 115 beds with our maternity, Hospital San Luis Star in São Paulo, also Paraíba, 18 beds related to the expansion in some of our hospitals. And also pay attention to the operational beds. Since the first filing for the IPO, look at the numbers to the third quarter of 2022, to the third quarter of 20, a growth of 39.1%. The number of total beds, the evolution, stability, if you compare it to the previous quarter, nonetheless, a growth of 26.3% when you compare it to the time that the company did the filing of the IPO in the third quarter of 20. Page 8. The consolidated gross revenue and average ticket. Now the company reported the total gross revenue of 6.8 billion reais for the third quarter, a growth of 4.4%. And in comparison to the previous quarter, this is a growth of ticket of 5.3% and stability in the volume of the patients. Now, in comparison to the third quarter of 21, the gross revenue has a growth of 15.2%. And in the same way, this is a mirror of the growth of the average ticket of 2.6%, a growth in the production of 12.2%. In the comparison of 9 months to 9 months, we have a growth of 13% in the revenue, 19 billion reais in 22, the mirror of the stability of the ticket in a growth of 13.6%. On your right, we have the evolution of the total average ticket consolidated in the company. We have a growth of 5.3% in comparison to the previous quarter and 2.6% growth in comparison to the FY21. Let's look at page 9, oncology gross revenue, gross revenues and average ticket. Now, for oncology, we have a gross revenue of 626 million reais. In the third quarter of 22, this is a growth of 6.9% in comparison to the previous quarter, second quarter 22, or a growth of 32.4% in comparison to the third quarter 21, the previous FY. On your right, we have the evolution of the average ticket. Quarter on quarter, we have an evolution of 7.4%. Year on year, we have an evolution of 20.7%. Volume stability, facing the previous quarter, over 60,000 infusions done at the oncology sector of the company. Now we're going to page 10, costs and expenses. Once again, to your left, we have the third quarter, the cost of services rendered, 4.5 billion reais. This is a growth of 2.9% if you compare it to the second quarter 22. Therefore, lower to the growth of the revenue on the same temporal window, 4.4%, remember. And now it's a growth of the cost of services rendered of 12.3% when you compare it to the third quarter of 2021. In the same way, a growth that is inferior to the growth of revenue in the same temporal, which was over 12%. Well, now we have the growth. We have the 9 months, which is 13.2 billion and a growth of 15.3% in comparison to 9 months, 21. On your right, general and administrative expenses, we have 254 million reais, a growth of 11.4%. In comparison to the second quarter 22 and a growth of 10.9 facing the same third quarter 21. Still a reduction in general expenses and administrative measured as a percentage of the gross revenue of 3.9% in 21 to 3.7 in the third quarter of 22. In the same way, 9 months on 9 months, we can see the stability and this represents 3.6% of the gross revenue of the company, as you can see on the numbers. Page 9, EBITDA and net income on the left. We reported an accounting EBITDA of 1.5 billion reais in the third quarter of 2022. This is a growth of 4.9% facing the previous quarter. This is a growth of 20%. When you compare it to the third quarter of 21, a margin EBITDA accounting of 24.9%. And remember, the previous quarter, we are being very conservative. We did a provision of half a percentage point. If we didn't do that with the historical series of the company, the EBITDA margin would have been above 25% 9 months. We have an accounting EBITDA of 4.5 billion reais, a margin of 23.7%, and a margin EBITDA adjusted of 26.4%, as you can see on the slide. On your right, net income. We have a growth of 396 million reais, growth of 10.6% if you compare it to the previous quarter, second quarter 22, and a growth of 4.8% in comparison to the third quarter 21. 9 months, we have a net income of 979 million reais, a drop of 22.1% facing the 9 months of 21. Basically because of the monetary and the interest rates, which is much higher when you compare it to the FY of 21. Let's talk to about managerial cash flow, page 12, once again on your left. We have the reported EBITDA, the working capital. So we started with the reported EBITDA of 4.08 billion reais. We have investments, additional working capital of 401 million reais. In sequence, we have other balance sheet items, 75 million. The expenses with leasing, 498 million reais. Taxes, we paid 294 million. And then we get to the mandatory operational cash flow for the 9 months of 2022, 2.8 billion reais. In the sequence of the indirect cash flow, we have the cash flow of the investment activities, which is 2.8 billion reais. And then we still have the cash flow related to the financial activities that are positive of 921.4 million reais, resulting therefore in a free cash flow firm of, which you can see on the slide, and the cash flow to equity, 2.8 billion reais positive, and a cash variation of 967 million reais, reconciled with the net income of the third quarter of 13 billion and a half reais. On your right, we have an average days receivable, days inventory outstanding, and days payable outstanding. Aligned with the data reported by the company recently, we have stability in regards to the average deadline of receivables, still some improvement in the stocks, and certain stability in the average day deadline for payments. Now we're getting almost to the end of the presentation, page 13, debt profile. The company reported September 30th, 2022, a gross debt of 28.7 billion reais. Average cost of the debt is CDI plus 0.7 percentage points. The average term is 5.8 years, the percentage of the debt in foreign currency, 21.3%. Remember, once again, our company, we do not have tolerance for the exchange rate, and therefore, it doesn't impact our financial transactions. Any transaction that is subcontracted, that is not in real, is converted to real door on door. The interest rates. And the cash equivalent is 13.5 billion, net debt 15.2 billion. The leverage is 2.8, net debt over EBITDA. We can see the evolution of the average cost of debt, the average term in years, and finally, we have the schedule for the debt amortization. And once again, the cash available for the company is sufficient to face any amortization until 2027 at least. I will close now my presentation. And now we're open for Q&A. Thank you very much. Let's start with the Q&A session for the investors and analysts. Should you want to ask any questions, please type reaction and then raise your hand. If your question has been answered, please just raise your hand. Our first question is from Mr. Gustavo Miele from Goldman Sachs. Hello, Otavio, and everyone. Thank you for the presentation. Now, I want to address two questions. First, in regards to the MatMed in the context of COVID. So I wanted to understand, within this massive COVID costs that we had in the quarter of 75 million, how much of that could you tell us that is related to the average MAT? So we can understand how it was the sequential dilution of that line of cost in a company adjusted by the COVID effect. Second question,
More related to the negotiation with the paying parties. So you reported an increase of the ticket, which is interesting sequentially, which is stemming from this renegotiation of prices with the operational, with the, we have a stability in the receivables. And I wanted to see how in the fourth quarter you can, you are dealing with the conversation with the paying parties. Do you still think that there is a possibility to maintain this level of working these prices with these players without foregoing deadlines? So I wanted to understand this duality of receivables and the recomposition of price looking at the end of the operation. Thank you for the questions, Gustavo. Now, in regards to your first question, 25 million in the quarter are related to expenses with MatMed and also related to COVID. 25 million in the quarter out of a 74.7. Now, the second question. With our understanding, the company will, through the next quarters, will have small improvements, sequential improvements in the management of cash flow. So historically, the company has something as 102, 103 days of receivables. And we understand that with as time goes by, we're going to get to this goal. And we improve in, as the the problems decrease and as the insurance, health insurance companies, the medical insurance is benefiting from the increase in prices, individual and then corporate, as the paying parties are benefited from an environment that with a higher interest rate for a longer period of time, they improve their results. We understand that we're going to be able to bring back the cash flow that was invested in the company. Thank you, Otavio. Next question, Vinicius Figueiredo from Itaú BBA. Hello, thank you for accepting my question. First theme, doing a follow-up with the question of Miele in regards to MatMed costs. Once again, you improved the number, but once again, as Paulo has commented at the beginning, still at a threshold that would be higher than the levels of the pre-pandemic. So I wanted to know if it's still a strong inflation in these products, maybe delayed. Do we still have a stock that was purchased with worse conditions, with a less optimized strategy? What would be the horizon? So we can see this going back to the threshold that is normal. Second topic is less related here to the results. But with the approval of CADE of Sul America, we are still waiting for the approval of the ANS, all Turkey. And now there are some reports about the possibility of selling some of the business of the company. So I wanted to understand if in your understanding, that would be a problem for the approval of ANS or not. The National Agency of Health, ANS. Hello, Vinicius. Well, first of all, let me talk about the part of MatMed. Now, we've had all throughout this year good negotiations. We, throughout the pandemic, the focus was to have the material. Many times we had to pay prices and very different prices from the records, from the historical records. We are bringing most of our negotiations back to prices that are in our records, and we can optimize this quarter by quarter. We are very optimistic that we can return to the levels, the threshold of 2019, the 18.7, 19% of expenses in MatMed or medical materials of the gross revenue, and this is an evolution of quarter on quarter. We think that it's possible for running on this, to be able to, we will be able to run on the threshold that is similar to 2019 for materials, medical materials. In regards to the publications, it's a speculation. Of course, we cannot comment on that topic. We are obviously waiting for the approvals.
pending approval, but we do not understand that there is anything conditioned to any of our something that depends on us for obtaining the approvals. Paulo, if you allow me to additional comments. Vinicius, explanation number six, you can see explanation number six. You can see medications in December 31st on 21, R$357 million in stock, and the on 316 on September, we had a drop to R$130.6 million. In special materials, there was an increase that was related to the change in profiles, our average, the surgical as the pandemic has decreased. But in all the service lines, there is stability or a drop in the materials. The stock, there was a drop in R$735 to R$613 million. And when we look to the cost structure of the company, we can see the entire power of Rede D'Or to use our levers as big purchases of medical materials in the country, MatMed in Portuguese. So in the third quarter of 2022, comparing to the third quarter of 2021, there is an increase in the medical materials of 4.6%. Gross revenue in the same period grew 15.2%. When we analyze in the same analysis in comparison to the previous quarter, the medical materials grew, but the gross revenue grew higher. When we look 9 months on nine months, medical materials grew 5.3%, and the gross revenue grew 13%. Look, there is enough evidence of all of our power of commercial leveraging the operation so we can work with our cost structure. And I just wanted to give some more color on that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Paulo. Otávio, have a wonderful day.
Next question, Mr. Samuel Alves, BTG Pactual.
Samuel, if you could please open your microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Good morning, Otávio.
Good morning, everyone. So two questions on the same theme about the total beds dynamic. When we observe 2022, the number of beds is basically flat all throughout the year. Of course, because of the M&A's dynamic, that there was a deceleration, but still there was the launch of Maternidade Star in Osasco, also São Luiz. Well, I wanted to know if there was a closing of beds, if you could detail maybe something like that, the reasons why that number is flat throughout the year. Second point, also related in regards to the number of beds, having seen the greenfield and brownfield projects, they have an organic expansion plan. If you could detail which and when are going to be the next launches that are more interesting to understand, in which quarter do you expect to have a jump in this goal?
Hello, Samuel. Thank you very much for your question. Well, we had in the period of this year, 9 months of this year, we had a growth of 400 total beds in the base asset of the company. So a growth of 10,600 beds to 11,046. So something around 400 beds of growth. In the same time, we had a growth of over 700 operational beds. This is the usual process for ramp-up investments, the greenfields, leveraging the operations that the company still captures continuously as we advance in investments, strategy of growth, and leading the consolidation process of the country. In regards to the investments, planned investments, I'm always referencing the Section 10.8 of our reference form. There is important investment information there. The planned investments for the next FYs for the company. For 2022, I am getting it off the top of my head. We have Campinas, we have Nova Torre Itaim, we have Novo Lar. Well, we have several investments planned. And we are advancing with Guarulhos. We are advancing with Alphaville. The ramp up of the greenfields that were recently opened, and the continuity of expansion via brownfield of the M&As that were recently done by the company. There we have all the schedule for the opening of beds, the project, the geographic placement, and even the budgeting for each of these projects. The budget that had enough, we were conservative enough to absorb the inflation of materials that we've seen in the company, in the country, actually.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The next question comes from Mr. Mauricio Cepeda from Credit Suisse.
Hello, Otavio. Good morning. Thank you for the chance to talk to you. I have two questions. First, regarding CAPEX, you mentioned the expansion plan. We understand that you have a cash generation, operational cash generation, that after you subtract the issue of the interest rates, there is small space, and today CAPEX is above that level. So you end up consuming a certain cash flow to be able to grow. So my question, do you think that in this environment of pressured interest rates, do you reconsider reviewing the timing of the organic expansion? Second question.
Receivables. I understand that the average receivables decreased, but we still see that the coverage of provisions for the receivables has decreased as well. You have a series of receivables that are longer, and the percentage that the provisions are covering is decreasing quarter on quarter. So I wanted to know from you, does that create any pressure on the future results? Or does that maybe will lead to a review of what you have provisioned? What can you tell us about that?
Well, Cepeda, I'm going to start with the explanatory. Well, let's look at page 5. So we have the expenses for the for those financial charges over 1 billion, more than enough to absorb the total of the accounts receivable of 1.5 billion reais. We understand that the we are very conservative for that excess distribution, and we can absorb any problem that the company might have. And even we increase that provision within our policy of being conservative. That is, we have, the first question, the return of all of our projects is enough to absorb all those expenses that we have now at the moment. So remember that the returns that we imagine for the M&As and the greenfield are over 20%. The returns that are coming from the brownfield are above 40%. So we're doing very well. 60% approximately of the investments listed there are related to the projects. So there isn't, at the moment, the need to review the investments or schedule of investments for reasons related to the monetary policy that we have in Brazil. I think that's it. Tell me if I've addressed your question or not. Well, I understand, Otavio, that the expectation for return is still high. So you're going to have that the cash flow. Well, in our long-term deadline, we do all the investments that are planned, and still we have the 2.8 times the EBITDA. We are going to 1.5 at the end of FY25. The muscle that was
provided with the primary tranche of the IPO and the follow-on 5 months after the IPO. It's enough. Our liquidity is enough to allow us to move along with all these investment projects with high returns and still reducing the financial leveraging of the company to approximately 1.5 times at the end of FY25. That with the premise that we have the 25% of the company. This is just a premise, the minimum established. And now we have Leandro Bastos.
Hello. So two questions on our side. The first, still with the topic of the organic expansion, if you can comment on how you're seeing the negotiation of accreditation for the greenfield in an environment where the operators still have a high number of claims and also the complexity indicators. You mentioned that they are stable quarter on quarter, but just looking at the pre-pandemic figures, the mix of services at the hospital seems to be normal. We observe an expressive increase of surgeries. How do you see the mix of hospitals comparing to what we had?
Hello, Leandro. Well, talking about the negotiation of accreditation, as you know, accreditation is done very close to the launch dates. So what we have as an example is the recent case that we have. We have a Maternity Star launched on the 15th of August, and this is already operating at a high occupancy. 170 beds are already available, and we are going over 120 beds occupied with the high occupation dates throughout the week. Most of the accreditation, we've had a great acceptance for the physicians, the community here in São Paulo, and we can say that it was a success. The investment was a success. The next hospitals that we're going to launch, of course, we are waiting for the, we're getting close to the launch of the date. This is how the market works, and we're building assets that are assets that will be reference assets in the regions that they're going to work. For example, San Luis of Campinas has a structure that is the most modern. It will be a reference not only for the city, but it will be a reference for all the neighboring cities. We understand that this region deserves a hospital with the San Luis standard. And we have complexity, we have the infrastructure. We are very optimistic that once the population, the paying parties, the companies, the families wants to have access to this type of hospital, it is a natural consequence that we have success in our accreditation. Looking at the past, we managed to get all the greenfields of the company, and we got to the accreditation that was very well done. Since the first months of launching, with a ramp up that was successful with the adequate returns. So we are confident that because of the great selection that we've had of places to do these greenfields and the regions that have, they need reference beds, and also with the strength of the brand São Luis, this is the big next launch, we're very optimistic. In regards to complexity, I don't know if Otavio wants to give us specific data, but we see more and more our operations are similar to the profile that we had in the pre-pandemic times. So in terms of utilization of ICU, of number of surgeries, profile surgeries, we see that we're bringing the hospitals with a very similar profile. Of course, with the natural history and evolution of each hospital, now they have a standard with surgeries that is higher than 2019, but now with the similar mix.
Paulo, if you allow me, there was a change in the business environment if you compare it to the second quarter of 2021, as we had simultaneously over 3,000 patients that were related to COVID in our hospitals. That number is 100 patients or so. At that time, second quarter 2021, 46% of the volume of the company was related to the ICUs. We had 20%-30% of our ICU patients in mechanical ventilation, and they represented 10%-11% of the total of surgeries. Statistical data that is very leveraged for that time, very critical for the second wave of the pandemic. Now, the world is upside down. As I anticipated, the volume in the ICUs, they are 42%-41% of the total percentage of the patients in mechanical ventilation, 10%, and big surgeries, we've already mentioned the percentage of the total surgeries. Comparing the 9 months of 2022 and the 9 months of 2021, the number of surgeries increased. The number of services at the ambulatory level also increased quarter-on-quarter. 9 months-on-9 months, surgeries grew 38%, and the number of services at the ambulatory also increased. All of this is a strong evidence of this change of environment of business. As Paulo commented, the return to normality of our businesses, of our activities, a more normal environment of business for the company.
Very clear. Thank you.
Next question, Fred Mendes from Bank of America.
Good morning. Thank you for the call. I have two questions. First, we've had several news about consulting, but I know that we cannot talk about that in terms of rumors, but I wanted to understand the relevance of this asset for you and how strategic it is, and does that change after the M&A with SulAmérica? That would be the first question. And the second question, it's more specific for Otávio, is how I understand that the investment in Qualicorp, it is dealt at the cost value with the balance sheet. Correct me if I'm wrong, but of course, there was a value variation that was relevant from the first investment until now. So just to understand, how do you deal with that, and what could eventually have an adjustment, generate an adjustment that is closer to the market value? I just wanted to understand that accounting part.
Well, I'm gonna get the first question of Fred, and then I'm gonna give it to Otávio. In terms of contribution of the total results of Rede D'Or, this is not a big business, but it's a company that we like. It's a group of people that we gather there that is spectacular, with a growth that is meteoric in this industry, as it came from zero. It did very little acquisitions. It grew organically, and we got to over 2 million lives, having a protagonist role in this management of consulting, specifically of the corporate plan. So this is a company that we have a lot of love for the team that we formed, for the level of service that is provided for the company, for this, for the clients. But vis-à-vis the total generation of Rede D'Or, it has a small contribution. I'm gonna let Otávio answer the second question.
Fred, our investment in Qualicorp is always registered in investments, therefore, it doesn't have any impact in the results presented. This has never been registered as real estate. It doesn't have any impact in our results. It has been accounted since the investment was done in 2019.
Thank you. Thank you, Paulo.
Thank you. The next question now comes from Mr. Caio Moscardini from Santander.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a question regarding oncology. We realize that there is an increase that is very specific sequentially, 7.4%, and annually speaking, also almost 21%. So I wanted to understand a little bit more about the dynamic of the ticket, when how much of it is mixed, if you can do the breakdown of this dynamic. I think that it will help us a lot. And a second question about the evolution of the M&As. Complexity, there is an increase of complexity in the M&As. Has it followed up on your planning? If you can tell us more about this.
About oncology, the prices is very easy to follow up because it follows a great deal of the revenues of oncology is on the drugs, and it follows the annual readjustment that is given by CMED. That's the reference. And the negotiation is free, of course, between the service provider and the operator, that's our plan. But the reference is the readjustment of medications that CMED signals, so that historically is very close to the IPCA rate. Why is the ticket above the IPCA rate? This is because they launched new drugs. It's the area that probably has more investments in the pharmaceutical industry. And you have more launches of drugs, and by rule, the immunotherapy, for example, they have higher costs than the previous treatments. And therefore, that increases, that leads to a growth more, well, that leads to an increase in the oncology costs in the healthcare plan, in the healthcare treatment. Now, talking about M&As, the 17 that we acquired over the 2 years, we managed to evolve very well. We got on every quarter, we got margin. This is a work of integration of areas, administrative areas, the cost of administration, the implementation of our purchasing prices, and obviously there is a work, depending on the type of unit, there is an investment in infrastructure, there is a better emergency, re-equipping some hospitals. Some of them are going through relevant expansion and revamping their structures, and this is a way that we can attract more volume and position the hospital to service more complexity. And even though there is a challenge to do that simultaneously, there is a great number of hospitals. We're getting great results. And we're trusting that the return that we're going to get of the 17 acquired units will be very similar to the records that, to the returns that we deliver for the company. Thank you.
Next question, Vinicius Ribeiro, UBS.
Good morning. Thank you. I have two questions. First, can you talk about DNA, the last or previous quarter? You have an efficiency plan, so I just wanted to understand what can we expect, more reduction of DNA? Or what is the baseline that we should expect in less M&As? Are you going to have more operational leveraging for the next periods? And the second is more simple. It's about the expectation of ANS. So timing and any restriction to the... I know that you addressed this, but maybe there was an evolution with time.
Vinicius, I am modeling Rede D'Or. I would model DNA at 3.5%, but to be conservative. And I am saying be conservative because we have compression rates that are significant here with general expenses and administrative expenses of the company all throughout this process of consolidation of the sector and the investments that were done. For example, we are discussing now the budgeting cycle of the company. Obviously, we're going through, we know the assets, we know the yield that we can get out of our company. And in the corporate areas, this is an area that has a compression rate of 80% and sometimes 100%. If I was in your position in the position of an analyst, I would be at 3.5%, a great deal of conservative. And then we can do the administrative functions of the company. We have high compression rates whenever we advance. And when we have organic growth, and that's it. Well, about the second part of the question, Vinicius, we expect that after the approval in regards to Qualicorp, we now have minority shareholders there. And we hope to continue with this position of minority shareholder at the company after the approval of the regulators. Thank you, Paulo. Another thing about ANS, do you have an idea of timing? Because the CAD, that's very determined, but for ANS, sometimes you have a variation. Do you have an expectation? Well, I think that every autarky has their own timing. Obviously, we're following up, but we hope not. We're not going to risk to throw a deadline out of the wind, but we are optimistic that everything is under what is expected. Thank you. Thank you. The next question comes from Ms. Stella Strano from JP Morgan. Hello, everyone. Thank you for accepting my question. Very simple. About occupancy rate. In this quarter, we saw the rate normalizing to the pre-pandemic levels. Given the seasonality of the third quarter, can we expect for the next quarters also something similar to the pre-pandemic levels? And besides that, I don't know if you can disclose this, but what can we use as a proxy with just the mature operations of Rede D'Or? More for modeling. So it would be same hospital sales, and then what would be the effect of the acquisitions and the expansion? Bella, thank you very much for your question. I would like to say that you need to consider the average rate of the occupancy of the company in regards to seasonality. For example, the fourth quarter, the average record is 76%. The second quarter of any FY, we have the average occupancy rate that are higher. This is for the entirety of the portfolio. For our hospitals, more mature hospitals, our flagships, sometimes we have 91, 92, 93% of occupancy rate. And this is a great incentive to go ahead with the brownfield when we have very mature hospitals with occupancy rates above 85, 86% for some years. Probably the company is losing patients to the competition, and this allows us to move on with the brownfield. And that's why the brownfield investments have more leverage returns, less risk of execution, and a payback that is much shorter. Now, given the pandemic, the COVID, if it remains at the current state, if I was in your position, I would model Rede D'Or observing the occupancy rates for each quarter based on the records of the company. Thank you. Next question comes from Caio Moscardini from Santander. Caio, we do not hear you. I think that Caio already asked a question. Maybe we didn't remove him from the list. I think that one was the last question. And actually, they had
We can go to closing now. The Q&A session is closed. We would like to give the floor to Mr. Paul Lamont, so he can do the closing of this call. Once again, thank you very much to everyone for your participation in our earnings presentation. We are very satisfied with what we could deliver at the third quarter. Thank you very much to the entirety of the team that is available, all the executive. I think that once again, we have shown the execution capacity of the company, even at challenging times of now that we see in the market. We will see each other on the next quarter. Thank you. Have a nice week. The earnings presentation of Rede D'Or São Luiz is closed. Thank you for your participation. Have a wonderful day.